Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-host, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jehu.
Cuckoo!
Hot off the heels of a season 4 announcement, and I don't know when this will air, so season 3 will debut sometime soon after
sure.
this. We are talking about The Bear. I should have looked up the cast for this. Jeremy Allen White, Ayo Edebiri,
yep.
Ibn Mas Bakrat.
Yeah, this is close enough.
And a bunch of other famous people pop up in
Oliver
there.
Platt.
Oliver Platt.
Oliver
Joel
Platt.
Joel McHale.
Maddie Matheson.
Yep. Man, the first thing, the biggest thing I learned from this show, Maddie Matheson and Action Bronson, two separate people.
Different people. But you know what? It's reasonable.
Yeah. One of them's Canadian. One of them's doing black scent.
Right.
Yeah. Were you guys familiar with Maddie Matheson before you watched
yes.
this show?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that...
I don't know
if it added or took it away. I have no clue.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, that's cool. Good for him.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it is, if you do know who he is, it is funny that he's the only one on the show that doesn't cook.
Right.
Yeah. So, obviously, other famous people. We'll talk about all the guest stars because this show has a litany of them. But follows a guy who takes over his dead brother's restaurant. I guess that's really the first season. The second season is he kind of makes it his own restaurant after that. Played by Jeremy Allen White.
Correct.
Carmi. Thank you for that. Everyone calls him Bear because his last name is some super Italian thing. I can't remember.
Barzato or something. Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched this shit.
I watched the last 3 episodes in the last day, so.
What did y'all think because you just watched it?
I just watched it. Well, first of all, didn't someone write into the podcast to specifically tell me to watch this?
Yes, our friend Zach from over at Broke Box Office specifically requested this one.
Well, man, I liked this a lot. I can't explain my thinking on it. First of all, an admission I'm going to make. I never finished the 3rd season of Ted Lasso.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I didn't either. It's okay.
I loved the first 2 seasons so much, but something about it wasn't even like a decision. I just...
Yeah.
Started forgetting to watch it, and I never did. I think this is my new Ted Lasso, even though it's a very, very different show.
It's so stressful.
Different vibe.
I hope you can understand now that you're on the other side of it why Christian and I felt bad about asking you to watch this show.
It is anxiety-inducing.
Yes.
Well, I always say I hate that shows are always, you know, doctors, lawyers, cops. Like, there's so much drama in shitty jobs. But most shows about shitty jobs, like, say, The Office, you know, The Office is a great show, but everybody there wants to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there wants to be something else. And, this is more real to what having a high-stress, shitty job is like. You just want it to be better. You just don't want to have to eat shit from somebody, you know? And I really related to these people. These were real people to me. I loved this show better than Transformers.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest selling point. I mean, it's a great show. It's
well-written,
it's well-acted, all that stuff. But it feels... very real.
Yeah.
And like things are like turned up to the nth degree.
Right.
And like we said, it's anxiety inducing and whatever, spoilers for this show about cooking. There's a point where a guy gets locked in a freezer. That's just not going to happen. Like, it won't actually happen in real
life. I think most walk-in freezers have a safety lever inside.
Correct. So like that whole bit would never happen.
Right.
But it's just realistic enough where the required suspension of belief is easy to do.
Right.
It's just it's a good show, and it builds tension so well for it to just be about this restaurant in Chicago.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely. It makes just running a restaurant feel way more life and death than it actually is. This isn't always true, but I do feel like sometimes I'll look at a show or a movie that's trying really hard and be like, okay.
Right.
Like, you're trying. Yeah. And this is definitely a show that tries really hard, but in a way that, like, doesn't... I don't feel that way. I like the fact that they're just, like, just going for something. Like, you
right.
know, every other episode, at least 2 or 3 episodes a season, they go for some stunt episode just to see if they can do it.
Right.
Just to see how it pans out.
Right.
And most of the time, it's really good. It's a lot of fun. I think 99% of the cast is very good in this show. Yeah, I don't feel like we need to be singing the praises of this show because it's widely acclaimed, widely accepted as one of the best shows of the last couple of years. But, you know, also we liked it, I guess. Well,
I tell you something I'll talk about that I haven't heard much talk about it. Fucking great musical choices.
Oh, so I was going to say, I feel like this has got to be the most expensive TV show just surely off of music licensing. Right. Because they plug in, like, multiple songs and episodes.
Right.
From, like, R.E.M.
Right. Well, the first episode, I think the music hooked me more than anything. Sure. That's from a song called New Noise. But what's the name of the band? Why can't I think of the fucking name of the band now? It'll come to me later. But it's just a great fucking song. And it's one of those songs that not everybody listened to when it was out, but everybody who listened to it started a fucking band.
Mm.
And I would highly recommend checking out that song, even though I can't think of their fucking name right now. Also, they had Wilco in that first episode. Great Chicago choice. Pearl Jam, the best Pearl Jam song, Animal. It just, I was like, these guys know my cat.
Look, I'm not a Pearl Jam expert, but I recognize Eddie Vedder popping his head in here and there throughout this series.
I think one thing that is so interesting to me about this show, and you kind of touched on it, is like there is almost like a jumping the shark episode in each season. Like they give themselves a challenge,
right?
And they're like, "Let's just see if we can do it."
Yeah,
and they do pretty well.
Like, I think
there's one in the first season which is like a legitimate hour in a restaurant at like, and all the shit goes wrong.
It's not an hour. The episodes are not an hour, but yes, yeah. The full episode is real time. There's no it's like a one cut one.
Exactly.
1 second for 1 second kind of thing.
First of all, the name of the band Refused. Second of all, that episode's my favorite one. One, you know how the kids, and I'm by the kids, I mean people your age, say that thing where I felt seen. God, did that feel like one of those days when we were living the life and just everything went wrong.
Yeah.
I specifically thought of the first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie. It like was opening on the 4th of July, and I think that was on a Friday, but for some reason they went ahead and started it like on Tuesday. School wasn't out the next day. We didn't think it was going to be a big deal. Fucking, at like 6:30, I got on podium. Hey, go back work session. Mm-hmm. I'll watch podium. At 11:30, I was still on podium about to piss my ass. Like, and I just was watching that. It's like, man, this is the first time I've seen that fucking portrayed on TV. Like, you know, you see that shit in a hospital, but I mean, to these people, that was life and death for them. And like, it was just so well done. Fucking at that point, I was watching this show without Sarah. As soon as I got to that one, I was like, we're starting over. You have to watch this show. You've got to see episode 7. And of course, she loved it because she was there that same night.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It definitely, if you've worked in any sort of service industry,
right,
you've been in that moment.
Right.
And like, yeah, and again, they do such a great job of building tension in such interesting ways in this show. Because in that episode, there's just like a shot of the like ticket printer, and it's just going.
Yeah.
It's just going. And it's like 30 seconds of just like tick, 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 tick. And you're like, fuck, I've been there. Like, it's terrible.
I tell you something else watching it, though, something that I really realized about the life. I miss hiding in the booth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss that. I miss days like that.
Yeah.
I miss nothing in between. It's those two things on the opposite ends of it.
The show also makes smoking cigarettes real cool.
It does. You know what? We, for a long time, have not allowed smoking cigarettes to be cool. And as a non-smoker, smoking cigarettes are cool. Kids, you look cool with a cigarette in your hand.
Yeah. I was like,
way cooler than a fucking Juul.
Right.
I would have so much better.
I would rather my kids smoke than a fucking vape. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
As a person who has smoked a few packs in my time, I was like, I could go back. I could do it again.
I mean, and one thing I would like to see on that show is one non-smoker, because I can remember in my limited experience with working like restaurant jobs and, you know, outside men jobs, that if you don't smoke, you're fucked out of a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smokers get to take more breaks than you. It's fucking bullshit.
I mean, they're killing themselves.
That's true. They're dying quicker. I'll get the time back on the end.
Yeah.
But those years won't be very much fun.
I don't know why it was, but everywhere I've ever worked, the entire, like, IT department smokes. Right. And I understand, same logic. You know, right. They're killing themselves. You know, I probably got a couple of years on it, but they always look like they're having a good time right. when they were all out yeah. there having a smoke together.
Yeah. What was it? In the first season, that's probably the big crazy episode is yeah. That one. And then the second season, you get fishes and... It's
so,
just, that is the hardest.
The second
episode.
Season is a lot of stud things, in it. And for good thing, the second season to me feels so much like an anime training arc, but for this TV cooking drama. Right. Everybody like goes away and does like their little
that's
thing,
true.
And come back
yeah.
stronger,
no,
and better than ever.
You're dead on. I'm sorry, as the kids would say, dead ass.
Sure.
The first episode, when it seems like, oh, this season's going to be more laid back.
It does seem like
and that. Then at the end of the episode, Carmi, Sydney, and Sugar all come back to the restaurant and, you know, all realize at the same time, you know, whatever it was, 12 weeks was not going to be good enough. They had to do it in like six or whatever. And that was such an Aaron Sorkin thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you could totally see Toby, Josh,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, coming into the room and realizing the thing at the same time.
That's
except, you know,
point.
It's a restaurant instead of the White House,
yeah.
which is, again, what I love about this show.
There is a very Aaron Sorkin
yeah,
vibe
yeah. Totally.
To this show. And I actually think it's a great comparison mm-hmm. to the West Wing because, like, while the West Wing is, like, awesome for a whole litany of reasons, but it is, like, one of the... minor ones is like it's a cool inside look into what maybe that world is like,
right?
But this is like that to something you can relate to,
right.
you probably experience. This is your Aaron Sorkin story.
You could go get this job right now,
yeah.
And most of us has had this job yeah. before.
Aaron Sorkin would not let people talk over his lines as much as they do in this fucking show. I'll
yeah.
tell you that.
That's
true. Yeah,
very memeable show, too. It's
yeah.
given us so many. Like memes and clips and viral moments, and you know, they're and it's well written.
So, Richie's everybody's favorite.
Oh,
character.
Of course. Without
yes.
a
yeah.
fucking doubt. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, when he was cast as the Thing, and you guys were happy about that, I really didn't get it. Because I really only knew him from eating Brian Williams' daughter's ass on Girls.
Yes.
And I didn't see that guy being the Thing. This guy's totally the fucking Thing. This might be the best casting ever in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. He's so good in this
yeah.
show. And even when he does, he's not the shittiest person on the show. But
no.
Maybe in the beginning he might be.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I love that he is consistently, besides the last like two episodes, just like the most useless person
right.
around, but is also just like the loudest and most like
yeah.
everywhere.
But you know people like that.
Oh, no, for sure I do.
So can you guys guess what my favorite Richie line from this is?
What is it?
It should have been real easy for you guys. I'm not like this because I'm in Van Halen. I'm in Van Halen because I like this.
Yeah. That's yeah. a good...
That's a great
yeah,
line.
Yeah, it's a great line.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Forks is just like a... It's just a... It's its own fucking thing,
right.
I think, outside of the rest
yeah.
of the show.
Yeah.
And it works so damn well.
It is. It would... If you just went and saw this as a play about this
yeah.
guy, it would be fulfilling.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and that's what happened to me. Yeah. I binged through the first two seasons of the show pretty quick, like, I don't know, half a year ago now. And then I got to Forks, and I was like... I feel at peace.
Right.
Everything I wanted
and
out
for,
of this
for
show.
The same reason, I didn't like intentionally not go to the next episode like you did with Ted Lasso. I just like I didn't feel the need to go
right.
back. It was like, oh, I feel complete.
Right.
I think you could obviously Carmi's the main character
yeah.
of the show, but he's I don't want to say like already arrived, but if you're just through the lens of a restaurant, right? Like,
yeah.
He's the one that has a vision. He's accomplishing that goal.
Right.
Maybe the whole show is him pulling all the people along, which is what kind of happens in
yeah.
season
right.
two. Which Forks would be a natural conclusion. He's the last. Richie's the last one
yeah,
to get
yeah.
on board.
Right.
He's the last one to figure it out. And so when all that happens, like they could have just that could have been the last episode, and the restaurant fucking kicks ass.
Yeah.
Right. Everything's awesome.
I mean, definitely the growth of Richie in the second season, where for the first few episodes, all his shit is fighting with Neil,
mm-hmm.
which is hilarious.
Yeah.
By the way, that's my favorite duo on the show. But and then you know like. Really, if you look at it as an arc over the whole show, the two people who really want to turn this from just a hole-in-the-wall, you know, sandwich restaurant into this fine dining place are Richie and Sydney. And when they get to that point in the last episode, they're the only ones that aren't better for it. Everybody else is like, particularly Richie, but all of the other ones have grown and matured and are better people because of that. And those two are still fucking miserable.
Yeah, and it doesn't work because of them. Right. It works because of everybody
right.
else. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when Carmi gets locked in the freezer and they still make it work without him, he should be the happiest person on the world. Or Earth. That he has succeeded beyond all expectations. Right. And instead he has a fucking meltdown because his family's rich in mental illness.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I also feel like, and I have no idea about this, mm-hmm. but vanity has got to be a key thing to be like,
chef. Narcissism, yes. maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it boils right. down to is just pure narcissism.
Right.
That he's not even essential.
Right. You know, on those, on mental illness and some of those cameos, what's his name? The Punisher?
So John Bernthal. I want to talk about this before we get, because the first several episodes, I can't remember what time, when they first like do a flashback for when he's alive. But for the first, like, I've talked about this when we first talked about this. But for the first few episodes, you hear Mikey and Michael referenced a lot. You know it's his restaurant. You know he killed himself.
Right.
And it's just, it's such this weird disconnect for me watching it of just, like, everybody loves this guy so right. much. Like, everybody that works here is, like, would like deeply loyal to him, whatever. But also, it seems like he was so fucking bad at his job.
Yeah.
Right.
He was awful.
Right.
Like, they did a terrible job running that restaurant. And he's like, you know, he's threatening people's livelihoods.
Right.
Because of how poorly he did. And I was like, who the fuck, like, how to understand how this person exists that's so beloved but sucked so bad
right.
at doing the one thing that people needed him to do. And then they bring John Bernthal in. It's like, oh yeah, no, that's fucking right. perfect.
Well, and also, I think they explain it perfectly in that episode because they show what he gets by completely on is charm.
Oh no, he's like 100% charisma.
Like that thing where he's telling a story and it's killing everybody, and then they cut to Richie telling a date the same story,
yes.
and she's just cringed out of her mind.
100%.
Like, you know, that is just, first of all, that's real life. but second of all, that's just totally, that guy got by completely on just charm.
Yep.
You know, and that happens to some of
no,
us.
No, it absolutely, and just that's how you know you as we were going to bring up about John Bernthal. Like, he's a great, great, great.
Right.
After I saw him in that, I was like, I can't imagine who else would have been
right.
in that role.
He plays it so well, and he has the right charisma for it. On the John Bernthal note, the Fishes episode, it has to be the most expensive episode of TV ever produced.
No shit. All the fucking guest stars.
Yeah, John Mulaney, Bob Odenkirk, fucking Jamie Lee Curtis. What's her butt from Community? I don't think she cost a whole lot of money.
Gillian...
Jacobs.
Something. Jacobs, yeah.
That lady who has to be on every FX show.
Yes.
Oh, what's her name?
Is it
it's a big
Sarah
forehead.
Ferguson? No.
Sarah something.
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. We got there.
Good.
Yeah, she does have to be on every episode. Yeah.
That episode's great, too. Only episode that doesn't step foot into the restaurant. It's just a family dinner. John Mulaney is fucking great in it.
He's so good in it.
Jamie Lee Curtis is fucking terrifying in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at that point, up until you meet her, you don't realize, oh, this family's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you just think that Mikey was fucked up, and because he killed himself, now Carmi's fucked
right.
up. But they were all fucked at birth.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk is great in that.
Bob Odenkirk is great. that shit where he's daring him to throw the fork.
Yeah.
That was so fucking tense.
One thing, though, in this show that's about food, and there is some beautiful food in
it. Oh, absolutely. Shouldn't eat. Watch this when you're hungry.
Yeah. Watching Jamie Lee Curtis dig her fingers in all the food is one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Her kitchen is so chaotic, too. There's just food exploding all over the walls. Every time you get a shot of the egg timer, it has more shit on it.
Like, it was killing me.
Yeah.
She just kept setting timers. Yeah, this is brutal. But Will Poulter guest stars on an episode.
So let's talk about
Olivia Coleman.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Will Poulter?
Yeah, because like if you told
this is Guardians of the Galaxy, if
you ever told me the kid from fucking
Chronicles of
Narnia from We're the Millers from fucking whatever was gonna be hot one day, I would have bet you $1 million.
But then you would have felt good about that.
I would have felt so good. That's easy money.
That's easy money. Totally.
But then he's in this episode. He's like got his like deep voice and then his accent's like, fuck, this dude's sexy as shit.
Yeah, he's fucking jacked in this episode. And again, he had to have been that Guardians of the Galaxy time frame, but he looked real good.
Yeah. Also, did I fucking read this show wrong? It's been a long time. Was I wrong in reading that Marcus... I thought Marcus was gay until he asked Sydney out. Did I just fucking make that up in my mind?
The first time we see him, he's talking to some dude that he's talking about he lives with.
Yeah.
And then later, they like... it's implied that he's homeless, that he's sleeping in the in the thing. So because of that, I did think, oh, well, that was his man friend, and then they broke up. But I guess I read that whole situation wrong.
Yeah, I felt something similar. I don't know that I ever got that he was gay, because I don't think they ever outright
said it. No,
but they definitely kind of seemed like they gave themselves the option if they wanted to. But then... I don't even feel like best chemistry.
Really, every romance thing in here threw me for a fucking loop. Yeah, they're trying to imply Carmi and Sydney, and that didn't track at all for me at some point in the season. Then, that gets thrown in the last episode or two. Maybe also just Sydney doesn't have chemistry.
What's the name of the romantic interest that they introduced for Carmi?
I don't remember.
What's her name? Because they call her something Bear.
Claire Bear.
First of all, man, everybody on this show has some fucking character in their face.
Sure. I was about to say, she's Amy Adams Jr. At one point when she's talking to Carmi in the freezer, she makes the Amy Adams face.
Right.
I was like, holy shit, we got another one.
She's like that because she could be 21 or she could be 41.
100%.
Absolutely.
She has like a baby face, but she has these real pronounced bags under her eyes, which I'm not hating, so do I, but I'm old as fuck. But she's real good in this. She's engaging. I really enjoy the episode where they go to the kegger.
That is a fun one.
Yeah, this is just a good fucking show, man.
Good show.
But, you know, again, you know, you talked about at Forks you were done.
Yeah.
At the end of this episode, I'm like, do I want another season of this?
Yeah.
I feel good about where this is right now.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, even though Richie and Carmi fall out again at the end, you know.
They'll be fine.
They'll make up the next fucking day.
Yeah. I guess that is the question. So we now we get, definitely, we've known about season 3 for a while. I think it debuts in June. But they're going to go right into filming season 4. What do we think this show's going to be? Because to me, I'm with you.
Right.
Like, the ending of this show, as sad as it may be,
right,
is that this is who Carmi is.
Right.
And if you want to be who he wants to be, this is how you got to fucking do
right.
it. And there's no option. There's no happy ending. Happy ending is being the fucking best.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that was the end of the show, fine. I'm good with it.
I mean, I think the end of this show reminds me, have you guys ever heard my joke about pursuing your dreams?
Tell it, please.
Okay. So there's this gynecologist, and he gets home from work, and he opens the door, and the lights are dim, and the candles are lit, and the Barry White is playing, and his wife walks out in the lingerie, and he says, honey, if I see one more of those today. That's what this is, really. Yeah. Like, you know, him and Sydney, this is their dream, and they got it, and it's like, oh, fuck, now this is just our job.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I do think what Joseph said, I feel like might kind of be true, what you didn't say, we kind of alluded to. I feel like, from the writer's perspective, the end game of this show is Sydney and Carmi.
Yeah.
And I don't want it.
I don't want it either.
I don't want it to be either.
Yeah.
I like What's-Her-Name a lot better than Sydney.
Yes.
It's like, oh, we've been telling this show about a restaurant this whole time, but it's really about these two people falling in love for each other. I'm not saying you do go down that road. I think, again, they've opened the door for themselves to make it.
The only reason I think they won't go about that is that, you know, in 2024, a mentor and his student getting together, people think is pretty icky.
That's true. But
they're their peers now. They're partners.
They are peers. And with... I don't, one thing I don't like about this show and how they've handled Sydney is there's so much of that.
Right.
But you also, the story of Sydney is that Sydney, seemingly somewhat successful, tried to do it herself.
Right.
And failed. So she's obviously not a child.
Right.
She's not new at this. She mortgaged everything she had and messed it all up.
Right.
But they are like, it is kind of like a mentor-mentee relationship, and I feel like that's kind of shitty.
Right. I two things I think it could be going. First of all, we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop with Sydney. Like, you know,
there's
what I'm
something
saying?
Something else.
We've not seen, when she flames out, it's going to be worse than anybody.
Yeah.
Second, right now, this show really doesn't have an antagonist, unless you count mental illness.
For sure.
You know? I could see maybe Uncle Jimmy becoming an antagonist.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, when it gets, like, particularly if it's getting to the point where it looks like they're going to succeed, and maybe it's more valuable for him, for them not to succeed.
Which is, what's his motivation at the beginning of the show, really?
Because, you know, we get the idea that maybe Uncle Jimmy isn't on the up and up.
I don't think it's just the idea, but yes.
So, obviously, he answers to somebody. It could end up being a life or death situation for that not to work out for him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The episode at Jimmy's kid's birthday party when Richie and Carmi drug all the kids, hysterical.
Very good.
That news goes over way better than it would in real life, but I fucking loved it.
You know, when I was a youngster, a wee little bad, I went to a daycare center where they were putting Valium in the Kool-Aid.
Insane.
And you know why I didn't, why I was sort of outside of this is because I already at like 4 had like a heavy caffeine addiction. And I was convinced that drinking red Kool-Aid gave me a headache. I didn't know that I was getting a headache from not drinking Coke.
Yeah.
So I would never partake. I would give my buddy Jesse a double dose.
So, anyways.
Yeah. Fucking Wild West.
Well, I mean, Eastern Kentucky, you know, there's some shit that's went down there.
Well, a couple things. First off, every single character, like every even little side character, for, as we've mentioned, Oliver Platt. I've never been sad to see Oliver Platt.
Me neither.
He's always a plus.
Yeah.
I fucking love the brother-in-law, Pete. Is that it?
Pete. Why do they all hate Pete so much?
I love him. They hate him because he's just like a nice guy.
He's just a normal dude.
You know, I think I can't decide if it's because they don't feel like he's a good hang because he makes them feel a little worse about themselves because he's just a nice guy.
Right.
But I love how much they just hate him and he's just a guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's sincere, therefore he's not funny or sarcastic, and they're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. I also, this show introduced me to a new, more descriptive form of racism, because I didn't know what Jewish lightning was. I had to Google it after that fucking episode. I'm like, oh, look at me being an informed racist
there
now.
Put that one in the back pocket. Save it for later.
You're right. Every single guest star on it is just fucking great, you know?
It's a very good show. Yes. You should watch it.
It's like an actor show, you know? Like, so many things are high concept. This is not high concept. Mm-mm. This is just, you know, characters and interesting stories and lots of tension.
Yep. I don't have anything else to say.
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. Again,
one more thing. Joel McHale's awful.
Yeah, yes. Fuck Joel McHale. I don't understand why he's in it at all.
We see him for about 45 seconds for the entire show, but he's the worst person.
I wish he was somebody else. 100%.
Just sitting there being a bitch.
They certainly could have gotten real Gordon Ramsay if they wanted, and I would have preferred that, I think.
Oh, so you actually dislike Joel McHale, the person.
I don't think he's good at that. But I also think his character sucks.
Yeah. I like Joel McHale, but he's awful in this.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think that's the bear. My whole thing is, I have a strong suspicion, based on our listening audience, that most of you motherfuckers have already seen The Bear. But you know what? It's pretty good. It's pretty
easy
to
rewatch
it.
Yeah.
100%.
Also, they're all short.
Yeah.
Except for Fishes, every episode's like 22 minutes.
Boy, it's a lost art form, but it's a beautiful art form.
I agree.
30-minute drama. Fucking love that shit. But yeah, that's The Bear. Way better than Transformers, obviously. Looking forward to season 3.
Amen.
What have we been watching, fellas?
I watched Wonka.
Okay.
Uh,
your delivering. We can't do it because it's in audio medium. But the way that Christian looked down and then looked up as he delivered Wonka was beautiful and cinematic.
I've been excited to say it. I don't know how to describe this movie. And I'm scared to say anything because Susie's going to get on my ass about it because I know she loved it. So there's going to be an email when I talk shit about it. It is a bad movie.
Okay.
But at some point, I just was filled with joy while watching it. Like, at the when it opens, I turn to Kate and I'm like, oh, this is rough. Like, this is not good. The singing, backtracking, and the dancing and singing that went along with it didn't really line up to me. Shit was off timing-wise. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I've seen better performances in music videos than what's going on here. But at some point, I was just, like, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a very joyful movie, which is, you know, for a kid's movie, a family movie, I think that's a great thing to do. And I think if you watch it, you probably would feel the same. But here's where I complain about that. Willy Wonka is fine murdering children.
That's true.
That's what our first introduction to this guy is that he is okay.
Not even fine. Again, if you watch it, which I did recently watch Willy Wonka, not like fine with, but like seems to kind of like it.
Yeah. He says, when Augustus Gloop falls in, he's like eating and like popcorn. Yeah. Like it's entertainment. I don't get that from Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
He's not great in this movie. And he's such a weird cast. Again, we've said it before, but Jeremy Allen White was right fucking there.
That's true.
Talking about the bear, that dude looks just like Gene Wilder. He absolutely looks like somebody who would be fine killing kids.
Yep.
He has a little bit of menace to him.
He has a little bit of menace. He would have been the right cast. But maybe not. Maybe the right cast for a Willy Wonka prequel movie.
Right.
Maybe not this Willy Wonka prequel movie. Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa is the weirdest fucking thing ever. I really don't understand it.
There's an interview with him where he talks about, where he's like immediately trashing on being in the movie because he's fucking
That's
Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
That's his thing. But he talks about how he wasn't sure if it was just the voice or if they were doing like motion capture of the body. So I love the idea that he's just like in a booth and like doing some dance moves, but like not sure if any of that shit is being used for anything. Incredible.
He's a little dick in it, which is, I mean, I don't know. It will bring you a sense of joy that you don't understand because you're like, Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa is bad. It's not good. He is phoning it in. But you're kind of happy that you've seen Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa. I don't know. It's on fucking Max. It's shorter than Transformers. I don't feel comfortable giving a better or worse than for it. It is.
All right.
Yeah.
There used to be a line of clothing at Kmart called Existo.
No, there wasn't.
What?
Was there really?
No, really, there was. I had this faux military shirt that the brand was Existo. And me and my friend Zach used to always talk about how that was a superhero, was his power that he existed.
I was about to say, that sounds like a depressed person superhero. Yeah. Like, I can't think of anything good about myself.
But I exist.
His catchphrase was, I am!
Yeah.
But, what did I do?
Where did that come from? Why would you talk about Existo?
You said this movie exists.
Oh yeah.
you said it is. It reminded me.
Gotcha.
You cued that. That's how conversation works.
I was hoping there was more to that story.
So, recently, we saw the end of a television institution. I just got around to watching it soon. I've been a little afraid to. Jack McCoy's last episode on Law and Order. And man, the reboot of Law and Order has been real hit and miss. It's lost a lot of its gallows humor. And, it kind of like, I mean, ripped from the headlines has always been a thing with Law and Order, but man, there's just been so many tech bros who've committed murder. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think that the CEO of every big tech company in the world is in jail in New York, because that's just all they're busting. But, man, Jack's last episode was really good. He had a really good send-off, and I liked that they sort of sent him off, because usually when people leave Law and Order, there's always the chance of them coming back as a defense attorney or a private investigator or something. But Jack basically burnt all his bridges on the way out. We'll never see Jack again. I think that was pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
Better than Transformers on 30 years of Jack McCoy. We played a show at the Handlebar last night. We did, really yesterday afternoon. We did our U2 sit. It was pretty fun, but I'm going to go ahead and say the sound man at the Handlebar, worse than Transformers.
Oh, no.
This fucking guy. Here's a problem we have with rock and roll these days. So much rock is about, like, guttural low-end guitars that shitty sound men can't tell the difference between treble and volume. They can't tell the difference between, like, brightness and loudness. So since I got some treble in my sound, I like having a little treble in my sound. It's always, can you turn down a little bit? So you know, we played our show, got off stage, the first fucking guy who talked to me, he's like, hey, man, good show. It's like, yeah, you could have been louder. Oh, fuck you. I just wasted my whole afternoon doing this shit. So fuck that guy. Fuck the sound man in there. And fuck all, if you can't tell the difference between treble and volume, get the fuck out of the game. And this is not the first time I've encountered this.
What was the best U2 song to play?
Oh, okay. The one that probably was the most rocking was Beautiful Day.
Mm.
The one I had the most fun playing was Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses, because we sort of turned it into a My Bloody Valentine sort of shoegaze song. Mm. So crowd reaction, we probably got the best out of I Will Follow, which is, you know, our rocker, you know, so I'm sure you would. But yeah.
Beautiful Day does have that fun, like, triplet part, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun song.
Yeah, that came along, and then after that, that's what arena rock was. They did that song, and then, you know, if you're a band who want to play arenas, you did that. Or if you're a band who want to play hip churches, you do that.
Also true. That is very popular in hip churches.
Let's see. What have I been doing? Last weekend, while convalescing from the McGuire's run, I watched Devil Wears Prada, just because it's a good movie. I don't have to say a lot about this movie. It is just it's a great movie. I don't know if this is true of all, like, female-targeted... That's not even a rom-com, but I guess female-targeted, female-led movies of this time period. But the soundtrack is fucking awful. It's, like, the worst soundtrack I've ever heard in a movie. It's all just, like, white girl pop rock-ish stuff, but, like, of bands I've never fucking heard, of songs I've never heard before. It's terrible. If there's one knock on this movie, one thing they should just go back and remaster. Just change the soundtrack. Just put some real fucking songs in there. The only other thing I noticed rewatching this movie is, in my mind, I always remember, like, the boyfriend kind of being an asshole. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because it's Adrien Grenier and I'm fucking Entourage, you know.
Yeah.
But rewatching it, that dude's pretty fucking chill about the whole thing. For the most part, Anne Hathaway is the asshole. She's fucking just never there, misses everything. And for the most part, like...
He's cool.
He, you know, just a little grump about it sometimes, but, like, lets it go and, like, yeah, whatever. And then they take a break and she fucks that super creep from the, like, the writer creep in France. And then they come back and make up. It's like, well, that doesn't feel very nice. So justice for Adrien Grenier.
He is kind of the victim of that story.
100%.
Yeah. But he's the least likable person. Like... Not the character, him as an actor.
No, right. No, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's a real miscast.
Right.
I say that, yeah, like, that does seem to be the perfect role for him, though, because he's a pretty,
like,
man.
Level of role.
Right. Correct. Yeah. He should just be, like, a cardboard cutout insert for boyfriend in some kind of woman movie.
Right. A girl movie that's not actually a romantic movie.
Yeah.
He should be the boyfriend.
Correct. Yeah. It's perfect.
But also, fuck that guy.
But also, fuck that guy. And then, since we're talking about the rare 30-minute dramas, I started watching Mr. In Between.
Right on!
Which Hurt recommended eons ago, and probably at least a year ago.
Yeah.
It is an Australian kind of... I don't know what it is. It is a drama. I wouldn't go as far as to call it a crime drama, because it's not all about the crime, but it's about a guy who's, like... kind of just a general enforcer. We'll just break legs for money.
I mean, it's a blue collar. It's really a blue collar drama that the blue collar job is killing people and breaking their legs.
Yeah. That is exactly what it is. But it's just so fun. You know, it's somewhere between like us, I feel like a Sopranos and, as you mentioned, like a Justified. There's so much of the show that is like building up tension, and a lot of the times it doesn't do anything.
Right.
And that's fine. It's right. Like, it's great for that. But yeah, you know, it's a guy who's got, he's got a regular life. He's got a girlfriend. He's trying to like, you know, make that work. He's got a daughter. He's got friends. He's, you know, right. living life. But and then also he goes and kills people
right.
you know, gets money from people who owe it to other people.
Right.
It's pretty fun. There's, there's an episode where he is getting driven to what seems to be his assured demise.
Right.
And the guy who's driving around, you know, like the middle of a field somewhere, they're just sitting talking about the guy who's going to kill his wife. She's pregnant, is having a son. And they talk about the names for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And the name is Quentin.
Right.
And our main character, Ray, pushes back on the idea that Quentin is a good boy's name.
Right.
And they just talk about it for like 10 minutes. And it feels very intentional because it feels very much like Quentin Tarantino dialogue.
Right.
But it's like, it's my fucking favorite. It's my favorite 5-6 minutes of the show. It's just them, like again, two guys, one is absolutely going to kill the other guy in 6 minutes. Just like, shooting the shit about like, what should we call this baby?
Right.
It's good shit.
Yeah.
Better than Transformers. What do you say? There's 3 seasons, I think.
There's 3 seasons. They're all short. They're all short seasons, too. They're like 6 episodes.
I'm on season 2, so it's been a great time.
No, I can't wait for you to get to the last episode.
Yeah.
It has such a great ending. You know, you brought up the McGuire's run. You know, yesterday our show was on St. Patrick's Day, and our friend Scott Harrell from Tampa showed up to the show. And, did you guys know that the snakes are a metaphor for the pagans?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. So we're just all getting super drunk for genocide.
Is that true, or is that just the thing that guy told you?
I mean, Scott's a pretty smart and straightforward guy.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of things that people who are smart believe that they just read it on the internet one time, and they're like, oh, this is going to be fun at parties.
Okay, now that does sound like it might be Scott, because he is real fun at parties.
Yeah.
Definitely the snake part isn't true.
Right. We can all agree that. It's just a story.
I just can't decide if that's a thing that was its original intention or just something later it was like, oh, you know what this actually is a good analog for?
And to Joseph's point, tying it back to St. Patrick's Day specifically, I saw probably 5 TikToks yesterday of Irish people
right.
walking around in Ireland
on St. Patrick's
Day. On St. Patrick's Day, talking about St. Patrick, and they'd be like, oh, he's a real person, you know, from Wales, actually. And then next person, a real person, you know, came from Scotland. Next person, he came from England. They don't even fucking know the truth about him, so I wouldn't trust some guy from Tampa.
Also, it seems pertinent to point this out right now. Rob Roy's a better movie than Braveheart.
I don't know if I agree with that, but
It was playing in the background while we were playing our show.
I mean, that's appropriate.
Which is incorrect. It was appropriate to your story because, you know, I'm pretty sure that's a Scottish movie, not an Irish movie. But they came out at the same time. Everybody forgets about Rob Roy because Braveheart was such a bigger hit. But I think Rob Roy's a better movie. It's also the only movie where you'll find a really tall guy and a really short guy having a sword fight, but somehow the tall guy's the underdog.
It's
an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
I think that might be it for this week, though.
I think you're right.
What do we want to do next week?
I don't know. I just want to pause and say the best Scottish movie is Highlander, though.
Oh, yeah, of course. Particularly since it's you've got a French guy pretending to be Scottish and a Scottish guy pretending to be Spanish. Like, there's some accents going on in there.
But it's very Scottish.
Yeah, it is. I know. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I agree with Master Shake that it's the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
I think also Ricky Bobby says that.
Ricky Bobby does.
Ricky Bobby said it won the Oscar for the best movie
greatest
of all
movie
time.
Greatest movie of all time. Yeah. What were you saying?
Well, so next week, I know Ghostbusters comes out soon.
I won't be here. Friday is the only day I can record, and then I'm going out of the country, and then I'm assuming other things will prevent us from recording.
I mean, that's true. We you know, we'll just do some bullshit, as we do.
I'm sure there's lots of content we haven't consumed.
Probably so.
God, you're probably right, and I would be proud of it, but also how much of my life has been wasted if I haven't even made a dent in the amount of content there is.
Right.
I've just wasted so much time and got nowhere. I mean, that's just true for life.
Yep. and on that note, thank you guys for listening. Please rate, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, tell us your thoughts on The Bear or any other TV shows that we should do. I appreciate the suggestion, Zach. two of us had already seen it, I think, by the time you suggested it. But it seems like Kurt really enjoyed the ride.
It might be my new favorite show.
There you go. You can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at realphonies, on Instagram at real_phonies. Thanks, Zach Evans, for our Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys later.